right here on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Digest with Jimmy Disu. And today is the first day of the week. And I like the way I'm starting it because sitting in front of me is somebody that I've respected so much, probably the most Nigerian I've respected who has been in public office. Usually, everybody knows that I avoid most people in public office. But him, he's like my cherished, even though I'm older than him in age, he's like my hero, and of course, I'm talking about BRF. Morning.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you so fresh and away from it all. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
We have to move near the mic there, please.
Yes.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, okay. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm trying.
Well, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I haven't seen you in ages now.
You left me school early now.
Well, you sent me to go and work for you.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Okay, so the Daily Digest is a program, is not an interview thingy per se. Mm. It's usually an opportunity for me to discuss with my host. So it's not as if it's a question and answer all the time. And so in saying that, I'd like to welcome you. This is a Sheriff. You are home here. I'm not talking of the premises. In my heart, you are home. And I would like to thank you on behalf of all. You know, I'm a full-blooded Lagosian. It's Aleko and Campus.
Yes.
And we'd like to thank you. Even this morning, I still got one or two voice notes. Lagosians say, I should thank you for what you've done. It hasn't gone unrecognized. I don't know whether if we call on you in future, you'll be available, but I know that you will not take your eyes off Lagos. Okay, so BRF has written a book, The Nigerian Public Discourse, The Interplay of Empirical Evidence and Hyperbole. Sheriff is looking at me and wondering what are all these little papers that I've stuck out of it. And that's because what we're going to try to do today is to go through the book as much as we can. But there's no way that a few personal questions would not come out of it. And of course, the one that one of the questions that I was told to ask you is that are you going to have any role directly to play in this government in the next 4 years?
Everybody serves at the pleasure of the president.
And what I mean, okay, so let me twist it. You can't catch me like that. Yeah, let's see, vote. If you not lay. If you not lay, but were you ever called upon so far? Because there was a time it was being said that you probably would be the chief of staff rather than my cousin, you know. And we were thinking that you probably, even though I was praying for you, that you should just take some rest, for God's sake. That's what I pray for. But we'd like to know, were you ever offered any?
So I think your prayers have been answered. I'm resting.
But also, again, this is a tricky one. So that there might be some changes, you know, and you might just jolly well be called upon.
So I don't get ahead of myself. As I said, everybody serves at the pleasure of the president.
Of the president. Mm-mm-mm. But you are available.
Everybody serves at the pleasure of the president.
Since you've had time to reflect, I'm wondering if you've also had time to reflect on the last 7 months. It's been tough for the citizens. That much I must tell you. It's been extremely tough for the citizens. And I wonder, some of us who are not within government and don't understand some of these things because we are not inside, we have our fears. You know, we have our fears. It's the economy, security, political, whatever. Nigerians are very, very worried, Excellency, extremely worried. I've not been sleeping well in the past few days, understandably so. You know, a lot of changes in lifestyle, fear about what is going to happen. You don't get a proper sense of direction. You don't know, you know, in which direction you are headed. And some of the petty, what I will call petty, avoidable things that are happening are also a cause for worry. I saw your comments I saw your comment on the issue of the Minister for Humanitarian. I liked your answer, but it still gives a cause for worry. So I wonder how you feel about that.
I think that even if it may sound cliche, there is still need to be restrained, all of us. I am not unmindful, and I don't think the government itself is unmindful of the challenges that people have had to deal with. Cost of living has been front and center. Even from his New Year's Day address, the president, as the leader of government, has expressed his appreciation and understanding of how challenging things are, and that as the year evolves, we should expect to see some improvement. Let us understand that we're in the 22nd or 23rd day of the year. So things are settling down. The budget just been passed. I am not aware yet whether monies have been released to the ministries, as is usually done, to start work. In the area where I used to be quite active, which is the construction industry, you will notice that the construction companies are just returning back from their Christmas break. And it is when they start working, they start buying construction materials, aggregates, laterite, reinforcement, lubricants, and start putting them to work, that small businesses who supply them will start earning money and passing the money down the value chain. So that is one side of it. The other side of it is that I think also that we must understand that there's a settling in period for every government. How much latitude we're going to give for that settling in is a matter of debate. And those are some of the public knowledge, public discourse issues that I have alluded to in the book, about how we need to see things differently from what we assume that they are. So it's essentially an effort to share my experience and to bring it live to people, to say this is what it really looks like, not what we probably thought it looked like. And to then leave people to make their discerning choices about this. And when I tell people that it took me 6 months to settle down as minister, and it took me about 6 months too to settle down as governor, even though I was in the same office with the then governor.
And you were the chief of staff.
Yes, it takes time. Going around, getting to meet all the people, the PAMSEC, the directors, heads of agencies you're working with. It's a big elephant. It's a big animal.
And knowing their initials.
Yes.
That's all right in the book.
Yeah, it's a big animal. You know?
You know, what surprised me in the book, though, let me quickly add before we move on, is that I didn't know that, for example, if you had a chief accountant in the ministry, it was not necessarily reporting to the minister. But there's something I'd always wanted to ask you. I asked my friend, what's the name of the lawyer, of this lawyer, the former, he headed the trust fund, Athawari. And we had an argument, this lively argument, about what is called security vote by governors. And there's a mention of that in your book. What exactly is this thing called security vote?
In Lagos State, we did not have a security vote.
Really?
We didn't.
Adeleke was telling his Osun people that they should be happy. That,
I find it it's when I tell people, sounds incredulous to them. So we didn't. What we had was that all matters relating to security equipment were funded under the global capital vote.
Really?
So if you wanted to buy a car for policemen, if you wanted to buy weapons for them, it comes to council based on the threshold, financial threshold. We approve it from Governor Tinubu's time right through my time. At least I can speak for those people, because I suspect that that is the same thing that has carried on, unless radical changes.
Sure?
I expect so, because
That process allows everybody to then know what's happening. So we're buying cars. So it goes to budget office after we have approved it in council as a government that we should buy this thing. It goes to budget office and they issue you what is called an AIE, which is the acronym for Authority to Incur Expenditure.
The impression we have, for example, is that some security issues demand cash. I really love from this person here or that person there that it demands cash. And therefore, the governors have this, they have this big amount of money that they can dip their hands in. And Governor Adeleke, if you...
I didn't have that experience.
You didn't have that experience.
So I can't speak to it.
But it's not as if it could be the same all through.
You see, some developments have prompted me to ask, what is the level of corporate governance in the subnational governments?
Yes.
And that's important. So, are they working as teams or are they working for one man?
Mm.
We worked as teams.
Okay.
So it requires us to also look at what's happening at the subnational level and even the local governments. Are they working as teams or is the chairman or the governor the emperor of the
castle?
Yes, and is dissent tolerated? Dissent was tolerated when I served with Governor Tinubu and it was tolerated when I became governor.
Yeah, I remember you saying sometime that he must have sacked you over 3,000 times.
Oh, he was just told us. Okay, advisor, thank you. I'm taking your advice. But you know what? I'm going right. I'm not going with you to that level.
Okay.
Cabinet, record that he opposed it.
He opposed it.
This is my decision.
You know, okay, I have to rush you through this. It's a pity because time is never our friend in all this. But this is, I found very, very interesting. And when I read it out, this is by who we fondly call Papa Bisola, Alhaji Femi Okun.
Yes,
who we fondly call Papa Bisola.
Very gracious to write the forward.
Write the forward, and I'm glad he took our time at 90. He said this about you. He said, as governor, he policed the Nigeria police. He went around Lagos traffic with no fanfare and sirens, without pomp, or over display of power. You know, this is to your credit. He brought the ethos of good traffic habits to the consciousness of school children. Unfortunately, not enough of the older generation took heed. And he says, by way of an annual road safety week program to teach the general public how to use the roads as it is used, as it used to be in the late 1960s and early 70s. To get that kind of thing from somebody of... Alhaji Okuno's stature is quite, and I'd like to give you a lot of credit for that. But your successors over time haven't followed your pattern in that manner. Have you ever had the need to probably restrain them? To say, because we do that here, and they almost turn us into enemies. You're always talking about fatal last time, you know? So I wonder if you have ever had the need to restrain them and tell them that... Because there's a limit.
We all respond to the same stimulus.
Yes.
And things never quite stay the same.
Yes.
So as things change, there is necessity for interface and interaction.
Mm-hmm.
The governor of Lagos, Governor Sanwo-Olu, invited me to the... executive retreat,
yes,
to come and share my experience with his new team members, and some of the things we discussed were how to improve service delivery, but our conversations are not for public consumption.
I understand that.
We have these conversations from time to time, and it's not only me, other people who have served before me, after me, at different levels, are also concerned. So it's a village, it's a community that must continue to help those in office to improve. And many of us have different roles that we can play, and we will continue to play them.
But so far, you don't have any worry. You think the state is on autopilot?
No. All is well. But you see, we always want things. Things could always be better. Things could always be better.
Okay. All right, so we have to take a short break now, because as well, the little money we get comes from. We are going to take a short break now. When we come back, we'll delve directly into the book, and I'll continue my discussion with His Excellency Babatunde Rajifatola. We'll be right back. Lagos State, former Minister Works. Was it Works and Housing, sir? Of Works and Housing. And my own great hero here, he's in the studio, Babatunde Rajifatola. Honestly, if we had 10 of you spread across, I have this very strong, I'm not afraid to say it, that this country would be a better place to live in. I know you won't want to react to that. Something struck me here in your preface. And you said that then perhaps what can be called the tectonic shift. Nigeria began to have problems. Who better to prick the conscience than one of our literary giants, Chinua Achebe? He published The Trouble with Nigeria, and like many at the time, I got a copy and read it. That was in 1983. I was 20. At 20, you were reading this kind of book. Did you have your eyes on the future? Did you ever know that you'd have anything to do with politics?
No. I was the most unlikely person in public service. But what was interesting at that time was that we were the young teenagers into our early 20s who first witnessed... we didn't see parliamentary democracy.
No, it's all military.
I was 3 when the crisis in the Western region started, and that led on to the coup and then military government. So that was my first interaction with democratic rule, 1979. Even then, I couldn't vote in 1979. So I voted in 83 for the first time. So, but
you actually did cast your vote?
I voted in 1983.
Who did you vote for?
UPN.
Awolo.
Yes, Jakonde.
I voted NPN.
Okay. So, but we saw how things were then going as a child, and people have heard this, so it bears some repetition, how strong our currency was and all of that. That began to slide. And that was around the time that Chinua Achebe wrote that Trouble with Nigeria.
Okay.
And some of those troubles, I dare say, are still with us.
Yeah. Even in worse. Now, you also make a funny reference to some... you were trying to give an example of some of the theories that go around, and like Goebbels said, the Nazis said that if you tell a lie for so long, it will be... Indeed, that the politicians have used that strategy in certain areas. They keep telling you something that we know is wrong. We, on the other side, keep shouting ourselves first. But as long as people continue to hear it, and you gave some very funny examples that I liked. The first was this, the football match. You know, the one of the football match when they said Tesimi Balogu Ogbekokuni. You created a hole. You gave that, you know, they gave that and some other examples, and I found that quite interesting. The book is divided, I need to tell our people, into various sections. There are thoughts and discourse, dialectics of local discourse in a global context, a study of Nigeria's fiscal mechanisms. Do you mind if I recommend this book, like not a textbook, but a reference book? It's more for knowledge than for enjoyment. Do you agree to that?
You see, I don't mind to answer your question directly. The whole purpose, as I said, is that these are things that they reflect thoughts that come from my experience in public service, and I think that I should share it. For those who desirous of understanding some of the issues in public service, I mean, my job would have been done if it elicits those kind of interests and readership audience.
Yes, because you talking about corruption and how these things grow. You know, they grow on us initially. You talk about the act of inviting a public official or a politically exposed person to a fundraising event or award ceremony with the expectation of securing a financial donation. Where do you expect him to have gotten the money for? Ministers are paid. Governors are paid. By the way, we have it on record that he didn't take that jumbo pension for governors.
No, I didn't.
You never did.
I didn't.
I think what you get now is just about $500,000or so.
Yeah, thereabouts. And you see, every time I think that we should focus the conversation on more important issues than
that. It is vital.
Well,
I would be shocked if I didn't ask you that question.
I see the importance about how former public officers are recompensed, if you like.
Yes.
But understand this. One perspective to look at this is that in many institutions across the world, once you serve for 10 years, you become pensionable.
Yes.
I served Lagos State for 12 and a half years.
Mm.
So in that sense, we can look at things. But in the other sense of, we are taking an undue share of what is the state, I am not a beneficiary
of that. And it's quite, you see, you probably would dismiss it. But to those of us on the outside government, it is significant that somebody has an opportunity to benefit from such a largesse and turned it down on point of principle. These are the ideals we want to instill in our younger ones. And I'm glad you made that example. You know, it's almost become uncommon, like Akpabio would say. It's almost become an uncommon act, And so that's why I emphasized on that. And so let's quickly go through the... I can't go through this one now. It's so long. We don't have much time. you talk in Chapter 3 about the imperative of data and statistical analysis in policy formulation. That is key.
A scholarly examination.
What was the experience like?
I realized that every time we deployed data,
yes,
we were almost on the money. We got it right.
If you employed data?
Yes. And so we became more data-driven as things went on. Even in our elections.
I was going to say, people said so.
May not know it, but... President Tinubu, then Governor Tinubu, introduced me to polling as far back as 2002. That's 21 years ago for elections.
Hmm.
And, of course, we've used it for many other things. Surveys. So Lagos State government used to conduct household surveys just to find out what was going on in the homes.
Hmm.
And the results of those surveys were usually informative to us about which directions our policies and our spending should go.
Mm-hmm.
When I got elected, we did a survey around the local governments, going to ask people, now that you've elected a governor, what are the priorities you want in this local government? We then went on a town hall, local government by local government. That was my first local government tour, validating the results of those surveys. That feedback was the input into our first budget, and it guided everything we did for each community for 8 years. So a community that wanted a drainage, we didn't go and build a school there. A community that wanted a primary healthcare center, we didn't go and build a road there. We were, of course, that didn't mean that we didn't have our own plans, but we put first and foremost what they asked for. So long as it was within our remit to do so.
Okay.
So those are important considerations. And we also then evolved it to a level where each ministry, we now signed a state government-wide contract with that data company much later. And what were they supposed to do? Each ministry was entitled to submit 3 surveys every year to that company in terms of policy formulation, decision implementation, just to go and sound out how people are going to react to certain things before we did them.
But okay, I'd like to ask you, sir.
And businesses use these things without us knowing in terms of branding, brand decision. There's surveys being conducted every day and you gather data.
So from your experience in both as a governor and as a chief of staff, I'm wondering how much political influence came into decisions that were taken. Even at the federal level as a minister, you could have all the analysis, you could have all the whatever, and all it takes is from for a political godfather to come and say, no, this is what we want and that's what we want.
Well, there is always a political consideration in many things.
Yes.
And after all, the political party is the one that formed the government.
Mm.
By our constitution, you can't be a governor or senator or whatever if you don't affiliate with a political party. So why should politics then not be a consideration? The question is, what kind of politics is in issue? What kind of politics? Is it politics? So ours was progressive politics. I remember two decisions. One was a decision to rebrand the Public Works Corporation for road maintenance, road rehabilitation, and all of that and all of that. So by the time we finished and they started work, they had a very small budget. We were going towards the end of the year when they took off, just around September. And they started, and I think that the State House of Assembly members saw the work that was being done. They went to their speaker, and the speaker called me. I said, Governor, we've seen what you are trying to do with this thing, but the money is not enough. We are going to double the money. That's good politics, because each legislator in the 40 State House of Assembly constituencies could now nominate a road. That's good politics.
Good politics, yes.
And we covered that distance. The other one, I remember when we were trying to pass the executive bill to amend the rent law and to reduce demand for multiple years rent from two to one year. I saw that I was facing resistance within my own cabinet.
Yes.
So it was then it dawned on me that, oh, these people are landlords.
Yes.
And they were not going to support this thing. So I just bullied my way through, got the law on, and then had to go and reach out to the speaker, Kuforiji, to say, look, this is what I've experienced too. I hope you can get it through.
He even wants to have been a landlord too.
Well, he got it through. So this again shows that some of the policies and the decisions we take also affect us.
Yes.
So those are some of the...
Okay, we are going to open up our lines now. And let's all be careful. You know, let's be brisk. We don't have enough time at all. See how fat the book is. So we don't have enough time, but I need to let you ask your questions. Give your name and go straight to this. And please, let us mind, this is an anointed guest here. So I won't allow anybody to do any jaguarjantis with him. I've given notice now. Okay, let's pick the first. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Morning.
Yeah, this is Pastor Ladiko.
Yes, we know
Pastor
you. Just go on.
Religum.
Yes.
Sir, you were able to manage Agbero, area boy, during your tenure. And if you look at now, things has also gone haywire. What is your suggestion, sir? How we can manage the situation now?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't have all of the facts here. So, because, again, this thing is about data. And what we tried to do then was in some of the places where we saw people just living off the land, we tried to incorporate them into some of the projects that we were doing. And we gave them jobs. I remember that when we wanted to do the marina park, they attacked the contractor. So I had to go there with the contractor. And then I explained to them that, look, there is work for those of you
who want to work.
And they said, And so they started working. They were receiving daily wages for labor. And I remember on the day we finished the project and we were to hand over, one of them was crying.
Yeah.
So I said, why are you crying? He said, they don't have work anymore. He said, no, you will still be employed. We are now going to employ you as maintenance contractors to keep the garden
going.
So there's so many things that can be done. And that lesson came from something I observed in a store in Singapore many years ago. And there's so many examples like that. One of the store attendants, I was told, used to be a phone thief in that phone store. But they converted them and turned all of them into salespersons to manage the same store from which they used to steal phones. So no cost is ever lost. There are so many things, and I'm sure that the government is working many solutions that we may not yet have seen the results.
But what we have now, sir, is that it's been institutionalized. This Agbero habit has become, it's been institutionalized. Indeed, the head of the whole whatever it is was a one-time employee of the government. But we don't have time. I'll let you off on that. At least the Baba Sale has been moved upstairs.
Good morning, Your Excellency.
So maybe you can breathe now. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Uncle Jimmy. Good morning, Your Excellency.
Yes.
Sorry, I can't hear.
Speak up, please. Mrs. Oboli, speak up. Are you afraid?
I'm not afraid,
sir. Sorry, it's okay.
Your Excellency, you are also my hero when you were a governor in Lagos State.
Yes.
Under your administration, the only thing I ever enjoyed as a mother, as a Nigerian citizen, was under your administration, the Women Alleviation and Poverty Program was working very well. And my child, a special child, was going to school under your administration. Shortly after you left, that place was shut down. And they said because of the embezzlement of funds, they shut a child school, a special child school, down when you left. So I just want to ask, what exactly is this present government doing, in your own opinion, to help people that have special children or those living with disabilities? I want to say thank you because you gave David an opportunity to go to school when you were there. But now, since you left, that boy has been at home. He's no longer going to school. Thank you, sir. You are also my hero. God bless you, sir.
That's a tough one.
Well, it is actually, but I do know that the government has some continuity on many policies. I don't have the details of this, so I really can't respond to it. But I am sorry to learn that your child is out of school. Perhaps we will see if I can get a phone contact and make some more inquiries. And somebody might call you back.
Okay, that would be fine. I think since we don't, do we have Mrs. Zuboli's number? We'll get it so that we can pass it on to you. Wow, time is gone. 9:51, Excellency, and we haven't even gotten started. We can take, can we take one more?
Yes, we can.
We can, just one more. Then we have to close shop. Hello, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, Your Excellency, Mr. Babatunde Frank-Fashola.
Yes.
You have Ambassador Muzwa here from Mission.
Yes.
So I want you to just tell us the truth, sir, behind this. From Songo to our Abeokuta, sir, what happened during your tenure? From Ifako Jai, Jai Dande.
I believe you are talking about the Lagos Abeokuta Expressway.
Yes, which is Ogun.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, we inherited that project when I took office as Minister of Works, and there was no budget provision for it. The contractor had left the site, I think Julius Berger. So we invited them back. They asked that the amount be reviewed, and we did. But the funding we then got was Sukuk. Project had gone to about 50 something billion because cost of materials had changed from 1999 or thereabouts when it was first awarded. So, and how much we got was 4 billion a year. So they did work based on what we could pay. And they started on one side from the Lagos end.
Mm. Okay, we have to drop it for here. How are we going to do? You have to come back some other time. Maybe not immediately. When is the book going to be launched?
February 8th.
I'll be on vacation then, but my spirit for those who are listening, the book is called The Nigerian Public Discourse: The Interplay of Empirical Evidence and Hyperbole, written by Babatunde Rajifasola. So I launched this book. Don't insult me by telling me what I'm about. I don't want to say it in public. I don't want to say it. Thank you very much, sir, for coming.
Thank you so much for
coming. Like I said, we do appreciate you, and I've passed on the message of Lagosians.
Thank you.
You heard the woman who was crying. These are the things that are more satisfying than starting up money and have people say nasty things about you when they've left government. So I'm so proud of you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much. And well done for the work that you do here.
Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll be back again tomorrow. It's Dear Bumi. And we'll be back to our own rhythm tomorrow.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to study overseas?
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.